impediment to experiencing the events as they went along rather than being told about them. So we took it out. And a bunch later, when the film was all together, the studio insisted that we put it back so people could figure out what was going on. I didn't think that was especially important because I never figured out what was going on all the time I was making it. I thought it was important, since this is a story about a Blade Runner whose job is to hunt down and retire replicants, which are a genetically engineered creature who have escaped from a off-world environment and are judged to be a danger to human culture. I was a little confused not by the story, but by some of the things that were happening during the making of the film. And finally, I was moved to ask Ridley whether or not he thought that the character I was playing was a replicant. Well, I never got a straight answer. Which is okay, I guess. But I thought it was important that the audience be able to have a human representative on screen, somebody that they could have an emotional understanding of. Ridley didn't think that was all that important. Well, later on, when the movie was made and nobody could figure out, or the studio couldn't figure out. By the way, Ridley had the incredible distinction on this film of the only director I know that's been fired twice from the same movie. He was fired once by the producers, and the DGA threatened to take it to the streets, and so he was reinstated almost immediately. And then months later, and at the end of the post-production, he was fired by the studio. And it was at that point that I was compelled by my contract to come and record a series of narrations. Four of them, four different versions, each one judged a failure by the studio. Until the final narration, and I remember this as though it were yesterday, unfortunately. I went to the recording studio. Now, by now, there were no one I knew was involved in the recording of the narrations. They were just strangers. And the only stranger in the recording studio on that day was a man sitting in another studio, typing away on a portable typewriter. We had those in those days. And I stuck my head in and I said, "Hi, Harrison Ford." And he said, I went back to his writing. He's a man wearing a powder blue hobby suit, we called him. It had an elastic belt with a twist, like that. I knew that we weren't going to get along that well. But at this point, I'd done three narrations already, and I, because we'd never met before, and he didn't want to talk to me, I said that I would record each one of the speeches four or five times, and we wouldn't discuss the language as I had done in the previous three attempts. I'd just say what he'd written. And that was the narration that was released with the film. That and a very soppy ending scene, which you will not see tonight, of Rachel and Deckard driving off into the sunset. This is the final cut. There have been three or four of them. And this is Ridley's final cut. It's been an extraordinary to see this film persist and continue to have supporters. I think it's a good thing for film students to see and understand. No special effects other than models, a budget of $750,000 versus a total effects budget. Everything was real, everything was built, everything was wet. Thank you very much, AFI and Target, for sponsoring this evening. Let the fun begin.
Was actually pretty lively.